Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
The following program may not be suitable for children.
Hold on to your butts.
As the sun sets over Slab Town, in the shadows of the Fremont Bridge, a club comes to life where you can let your freak flag fly.
There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. Full kegs. Everybody's gonna be there. You ought to go.
The only thing that's off limits are the words you can't say thanks to the FCC.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises.
Yeah. Google me, bitch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, my.
Rocking you on a Friday. Why did I say that? Should I go right? Should I go left? Damn it. How do I get in that little girl's toilet?
My son is an idiot.
Kick the ball, you little bitch.
Okay, we apologize.
It's time for the club, baby, on 105.1 and 1080. The Fan. Hoo-wee.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah. Well, it's no longer a club today.
I'm gay.
Just the club.
Yeah, just the club.
Or Club 105, sponsored by Club 205. Call us Club 205. We should do a remote in the shadows of the 405.
Starting around 605.
That all makes sense. Come on. We were once sponsored by the Dolphin, right? Didn't the Dolphin sponsor the club for a bit?
I don't remember.
I think that happened.
Yeah, no, I don't like that place. I can't get behind it.
Something happened.
Yes.
Can't talk about it, can we?
No.
Club 205. Call me.
Well, I'm going to miss the old club intro, man.
I know.
That was a classic. Yeah. But.
What are you going to do?
We evolve. We move on. We change. Yeah. We grow.
Someone asking, are the new FM Digs going to put the club under the thumb of the man?
No way.
Get out of here.
I'll tell you what. They went way out of their way to protect the club.
Yes.
From this FM bullcrap.
To arrive at these political compromises, which is still one of the all-time greats.
So we've been sitting down there on AM for like 20 years.
Yeah, no one cares.
No one cares. Now we're on the FM.
Suddenly we're under scrutiny.
People are listening now. Got to clean it up.
By the way, this coming in on the text line. Or my 19-year-old daughter, born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, thought Alaska was an island southwest of Hawaii until last year when I corrected her. Thanks a lot, Portland Public Schools.
Is it possible that that's not Portland Public Schools' fault and that he has a dumb daughter?
Well, let me also chime in with this. Former promotions goddess Tara chimed in. I was 21 when Mike, then boyfriend, now husband.
He's from Australia.
Yeah, he's from Australia.
Did you know that?
Yeah. She thought, and I guess he had spent some time in Alaska, she thought at 21 that Alaska, again, was an island. She chimed in. Thought Alaska was an island until she was 21 years old.
Man.
Apparently, this is a thing. So yes, I do blame Portland Public Schools. And I also blame parents, but at some point, no one in school taught you that because Alaska on a map looks a little different, that it's not attached to anything? Who doesn't know that?
All right, so we've got big pilot news here. Well, it's really not big pilot news, but I wanted to play this for you because this would be terrifying. If you are flying and your pilot comes over the loudspeaker and says these words in this order, I can't imagine how you would feel.
Little pucker factor.
But this was, excuse me. It was a near mid-air collision.
Oh, is this with the bomber, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, with the B-52 bomber, I think.
Yeah, the, don't worry.
Or B-2 bomber.
Yeah, the air traffic control situation is going great right now in our country.
Yeah, the B-52 bomber. Oh. So it was a Delta flight. It was a regional jet, and he had to come on and say, "Yeah, sorry about that. About hit a B-52 bomber there. Drinks on me. Landing in 20 minutes.
I think someone looked out the window and had a little fear pee.
See, I think that's the only reason he addressed it. You guys were mentioning earlier, like, why would you even bring it up? I don't want my pilot telling me. I bet people saw it and he felt like he had to mention it.
I don't know that they saw it, but it sounds like he had to make a really hard turn. Yeah, so they felt it.
Yeah.
And so they're probably like, what the hell was that? So he did have to. Look, I'm okay with him coming on and saying, yeah, well. Because
he's saying our plane wasn't breaking, something unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, I had to make a hard turn there. sorry about that there. Not my finest moment, but I'll tell you what, we'll be on the ground in 20 minutes. Free Whoops. Drinks on us.
Would you take a near collision if it meant free drinks?
Yes. Oh, well.
Again.
No.
You're fine. It wasn't a collide. You just had a brief moment where you got
was
scared.
Was there a jolt?
Yeah, there was a jolt. But free drinks for rest of the time.
I mean, I generally get free drinks anyway because we sit with the. Oh,
look at you.
Well, yeah, they give you free drinks in the. Not first class, but the. I mean, you get free drinks in first class too, but.
Are we finding out Rob's privilege right now?
Well, no, it's like, what do they call it? The
premium,
maybe?
Premium economy?
Yeah, something like that.
You get free booze?
Well worth it, yeah. Yeah, you get free drinks, dude. Because we fly Alaska a lot.
Must be nice.
Well, it is nice.
I don't get free booze.
I mean, I got to pay for it. You pay extra for the ticket, but. Anyway, here is what that sounded like.
For those of you on the right-hand side, you probably saw the airplane kind of sort of coming at us. Nobody told us about it, and so we continued, and air traffic, and there's no radar here, so the tower is controlled, the tower does everything visually, and so they said report about six miles from the airport. So we did that. I think he realized that the spacing wasn't going to work, and he said turn right, and I looked over, and there was an airplane, which those of you on the right hand side, I thought it was a small airplane like the one you see at the airport right now doing touch and goes. And he said, turn right. I said, there's an airplane over there. And he says, turn left. And then by the time we read back the clearance, looked over and saw the airplane that was kind of coming on a converging course with us. And so given his speed, it was a military, I don't know how fast they were going, but they were a lot faster than us. I felt it was the safest thing to do to turn behind it. So sorry about the aggressive maneuver. It caught me by surprise. This is not normal at all. I don't know why they didn't give us a heads up. Because the airport base does have radar, and nobody said, hey, there's also a B-52 in the pattern. Long story short, it was not fun, but I do apologize for it, and thank you for understanding. It was kind of not a fun day.
They're clapping. Wow. They're clapping for it. See,
boy, that's a very
I thought he was losing the audience, but they're clapping.
That's a very detailed explanation.
Dude, that is way too much information.
I don't need that.
I'm with this guy on the text line. He said, look, let's not overreact to this. The captain 100% overreacted. He needed to change course to avoid a plane that was flying straight and level on an FAA-approved flyover path. They didn't miss by inches or almost collide. They had thousands of feet of separation, and they safely landed. This would have been a non-event if the pilot hadn't gone on that two-minute rant. Mm. All he needed to say was, sorry for the delay, we had to steer clear of some traffic. That's exactly right.
All I know is this. I am no pilot. I don't know what it's like to be staring down a B-52, but there was some shake in that pilot's voice, so who the hell am I to tell that pilot that he shouldn't have been scared?
Well, he could be scared, but the pilot can't be letting on that he's scared. Look, just get on there.
Stiff upper lip, baby. Let's go.
But that guy said that he overreacted. How do we? I don't know that he overreacted.
Well, he did overreact. He didn't have to say all that.
He didn't have to say all that.
It was TMI. Dude, just get on there and say we had to avoid a little traffic. Sorry about that. Drinks on me.
Well, he's a little overwhelmed by the moment, and some people get a little talky.
I mean, you don't have to explain the whole thing. He explained the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I will say, when we had, I guess it wasn't this. But I've told the story. We were flying up to play the University of Washington, and we were on a charter plane. And we were going over, I don't remember what it was. Is it like Umatilla that has all the military bases? It was somewhere in Eastern Oregon, or maybe it was Idaho. It was so many years ago. And apparently our numbnuts pilot didn't turn on his radio. Like, he wasn't responding. And we flew over military airspace. And so the military was trying to get a hold of us to tell us to, like, move. And we weren't responding. So the damn military scrambled a jet or two.
Yikes.
And I guess, like, they flew up. Now, I did not see this. I wasn't paying any attention. But people on the plane saw the military jets and they told us to make, like, eventually they got a hold of the dip S and we're like, dude, confirm now, land. And we had to land. And it was like an abrupt sort of landing. And it was like, I mean, it was abrupt. And people got freaked out and people got scared and we didn't know what was going on. That dude didn't tell us crap. We didn't find out until well after the fact. And I will tell you that it was a little unsettling not knowing what was going on. So it can go both ways. And so that wasn't like a near collision, but we had something going on and they weren't telling us. They just told us that we had to land and to buckle up. And you could tell he was nervous in his voice. So we were like, is something wrong with the plane or whatever? Turns out we were just in airspace that we weren't supposed to be in.
Look, there's definitely a fine line between TMI and not enough.
Yeah.
But that guy missed it.
He definitely heard some shake, you know. It's like, yeah, it's a bad day. But they gave him the applause.
YouTube chat says, I'm surprised he didn't tell us about his morning that day, too.
God, no kidding.
He had a lot to say.
Yeah, it was also a little bit... It kind of felt a little bit like he felt... He wanted to really hammer home the point that it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault, yeah. Hey, just so you know.
Yeah, I just want you to know.
Yeah, blame those guys.
I'm a great pilot.
Captain Rayso Bannon, master of the
sky. Even though we all about that.
Well, you wonder, too, like... We know there's bad cops, bad firefighters, bad teachers. We don't really think about it, but you know there's some really bad pilots out there. You know who finishes last in their pilot class? You know what they still call them? Pilots. So is it possible that you just get a crappy... Like, I want to believe when I go up in an airplane that I've got, like, Sully Sullenberger. But is there a chance that we, you know, you've got a kid that's... Maybe had, like, mittens pinned to his coat the entire time and flunked out of everything else. And so he's like, I don't know, I'll be a pilot and... Barely passed, and that's why he's on the horizon schedule.
Don't you think pilots would tell us if we gave them all true serum that it's really not that hard what they do? You know, until I think it's not that hard until you have to.
It's not that hard until it is.
Well, I don't believe you've seen it yet, but part of that new season of The Rehearsal on HBO is about that. The host, Nathan Fielder, basically trains to become a pilot and finds a bunch of loopholes and ends up flying like a Boeing 737. And he's just a regular dude.
Yeah, it's not that hard until you have to land on the Hudson.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so that it's like doctors. It's not that hard, you know, until something goes wrong and you have, you know.
Well, you'd say the same thing about anything. It's not hard to be a soldier until someone starts shooting at you. I can do some marching and, like, clean a gun. It's all fun and games until someone starts launching mortars at me, though. And then all of a sudden, it's real.
But I just think that. You were talking about dumb pilots or bad pilots. There probably are because it's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
You know?
And that dumb pilot can fly for years and years, and no one thinks anything of it until the one time where it's like, oh, my God, we need you. And now you freak out, and next thing you know, you're screwed.
All right, let's get to TV news coming up next. What show just signed a $1.5 billion streaming deal. Billion.
It's good to be these guys. It's two of them.
That's next on The Fan. That's right. We have you and your little hot bodies. They're in our possession.
Smoky voice jazz club.
Yeah, it sounds a little, who's the Tim Meadows character?
Yeah, the ladies man or whatever.
The ladies.
Want there to be bird masks in the club. This new club 105. Things are going to get weird.
Now to TV news.
What is
Stephen Colbert canceled.
Except he's not canceled. He's going to be there for like another year.
No, he's canceled.
Are you going to be there till May?
Yeah, they're giving him 10 months.
So he's got a year to basically just pee really in everyone's Cheerio?
What? I'm not sure why that is. I think that's weird.
Yeah, it's strange.
That... They decide to give him 10 months to blast everyone, including them.
Yeah, you fired him because, you know, he called you cowards over the Trump settlement because you're trying to get a merger pushed through. So you fire him to try to get the merger to be pushed through and to appease the POTUS. And now you've given him 10 months of he doesn't give a damn and he can do whatever the hell he wants. And he's just going to go in on you every day.
Yeah, they probably don't care or else they would take him off the air.
It's very strange.
But I wonder if the numbers behind that show are true. Did you see some of those numbers?
Yeah.
They were saying that that show cost them $100 million to make it.
Yeah. And he gets paid $60 million. They were saying that show lost like $50 million a year.
Yeah, they said $40 million a year. So it cost them... Dude, I get that this is complicated. The situation's messy. It involves Trump. It's political. There's a merger. It involves control of media. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, it's a pretty complicated situation.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's pretty simple. If they're spending $100 million a year for that show, and it is losing $40 million a year... Guess what? You're getting canceled.
Well, and don't be surprised when they show you the door the moment you do something they don't like.
Exactly.
Portnoy, the Barstool guy, who is a bit of a dandy, in my opinion. He's a bit much for me. But at times, I think he can be a rational human being. And he went on a great rant about this. Hey, obviously, he's a bit of a Trump guy. But I think at times, he has rational opinions. I don't think
he's even recently complained about Trump.
Yeah, he's not like an extremist. He sided on one side, and he's a conservative guy. But I think at times, like I said, he seems like a rational human being.
It's called rain. Comes down from heaven.
He went on a great rant, and he goes...
It's called sports.
He goes, if these numbers are true, and you're losing this much money, and then you go on the air, and you pee in the face of the company that you're losing this amount of money for, because I'd fire you tomorrow. He goes, this isn't a political thing. This is a dollars and cents thing. He goes, if I was paying, you know, he brought up he was paying one of his shows, you know, this much money and we were losing it. And then they went on and said that you can't trust me and that this is an awful company. He goes, I'd fire you tomorrow. And that is true.
Well, that's what I just said.
Exactly.
I mean, like, I feel like this is pretty simple if those numbers are true.
Yes.
So it's weird. I don't know what the future of late night TV is, but I just wonder... I wonder if any of those shows
is
make
this
money.
The beginning of the end.
Yes, because
well,
I mean,
yeah, if you're losing that, and he was the most popular one, he had the best ratings of any of the big three, and so I again,
did
maybe,
he?
Yeah, he did. It wasn't even close. He was the most popular late night show.
Fallon was always the most popular.
No,
one.
Colbert had much better numbers. So I don't know what those other shows cost to produce, but yeah, if those are coming at a major loss like that, it's. You do wonder if this is the end of it, because that used to be a staple of entertainment is late night TV, and it just isn't anymore.
Yeah, I just wonder if like on their bottom line, $40 million isn't that much.
Yeah,
you know, for the value they get about having I guess a highly rated show. Yeah. I don't know,
but it only averaged a couple million per night.
Yeah, see, I feel like no one's watching late night TV anymore.
Well, no, and that was one of Portnoy's points, is he goes, dude, you're spending this much to get, you know, 2.5 million people. He goes, dude, I spent a tenth of that, and I've got 10 guys that are putting out content that get much bigger audiences.
That's a fair point. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, I don't even know how the hell do you spend $100 million for that show?
I don't know.
I don't understand that either.
That's crazy.
Like, it's not like you have these opulent sets and
no.
Is it
you have
guests?
One
like what is all the money going
you
to?
Have one set, you pay him $16 million.
I think they said there was like 200 employees.
Yeah, there's a bunch of
god for what.
So I don't know.
Give
writers,
a couple writers,
and stations,
like,
writers and techs, and
you should be able to do that show with 20 people, not 200.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess to someone's point, it is still political censorship, which is crap.
It's kind of scary
that they bow down to that. But the problem is that when it's political censorship, but it can be framed in a way where you're like, hey, dude, like if you're losing that amount of money, be careful going after the hand that feeds you. And Colbert apparently was fine with it. He had to have known what was coming. Yes, it was crap. Yes, it was political censorship. But it still took a lot of guts for Colbert to come out and do that, because he had to have some idea.
Well, he said he found out Wednesday
that there could be some blowback.
Blowback from what?
From taking the shot that he did.
After or before?
No, before.
Yeah.
He went on the night, a night or two after his parent company settled a lawsuit with Trump for $16 million. Basically, they bought off Trump because they're trying to push Paramount, the parent company.
Yeah, I mean, I know all that. I just thought you were talking about, like, because last night he was on.
Oh, he went after
him knowing that he had been fired, and he went after
him. He went after him. But he said, he went on his show, and he said that he no longer can trust his company. He says that they have been compromised. They bought into the bribe stuff.
And they fired him.
And they fired him.
Because they're looking at him going, well, wait a minute. You lose us $40 million, and now you're saying this. I get that.
Yes.
But he says that he didn't know he was fired until Wednesday of last week.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So
it's a weird story.
As someone said, you must be drinking the Kool-Aid if you think it's 100% of dollars and cents. It is not. We all know.
Like I just said, exactly. It's really complicated. There's a lot of moving parts here.
Yes.
But the bottom line really is, if that show is costing them $100 million and losing them $40 million,
yeah,
it's a no-brainer.
You don't need a political reason to fire him. You can just fire him.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to leave the show on without all the political stuff and all the merger stuff, but... it's just, I don't know, dude.
It becomes a lot easier to lick the boot and kiss the ring when you're when you have that. Whereas if Colbert was making them $40 million, then I think that's maybe a harder decision to do.
No, I don't think they fire him. If he's making them $40 million a year, they are not firing him.
No, no.
So it kind of does come down to dollars and cents.
But make no mistake, we all know why he got canned. Because if they were going to fire him over that, they would have fired him before now. This didn't just randomly occur where someone woke up and was like, man, we're losing money. No, this was, you bowed to political censorship.
So now.
It's like when you got canned by Comcast SportsNet.
That's right. Politically censored.
You did.
By the sports Trump.
Yes. Bro. This 100% happened to you. You spoke up and you said something that was true and they fired your ass for it because the you know, the sports bro GM didn't like it.
Guys, we've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Yeah.
So basically, I'm Stephen Colbert.
Yes, without the $16 million.
One and the same.
And then they turn around and hand $1.5 billion to a show for a streaming deal.
Yeah.
God. We'll get to that next. Here's Buck.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
So Paramount owns CBS, and CBS, of course, they're the ones that can Colbert. But now they hand out $1.5 billion, Paramount does, to South Park.
Yeah, Trey Stone and Matt Parker, $1.5
billion with a B. That's crazy.
Yikes.
So they
I mean, I knew South Park was a big deal. I didn't know it was $1.5 billion big deal.
Yeah, they're saying this deal is in place, hasn't been signed yet, but they've agreed to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-year deal, and they will Paramount will have the global streaming rights to the entire South Park series. Now they're in, so this is like $300 million deal a year.
Yeah,
obviously,
and there's a lot of seasons of South Park.
Well, they're in their 27th season.
Yeah,
and I,
you got the movies. I'm assuming are included in this.
Oh, yeah, all of it. Yeah. But I saw that Trey and Matt came out and said that the merger, because somebody's trying to buy Paramount right now.
Yeah.
There's a merger going on, and it's a mess. And they came out and said, dude, this is screwing up South Park. We're trying to make episodes for you guys, and this merger is effing it all up. I remember they were pissed about it, and so they thought it was going to blow up the whole deal. But it sounds like... now they figured it out.
Yeah, Paramount is trying to merge with Skydance Media, and it would be an $8 billion merger. So it would be Paramount Legacy Brands, CBS, MTV, Nickelodeon, Paramount Pictures with Skydance's film and streaming projects. So that is what they're trying to get pushed through, and so you need government approval for that. So the idea is, obviously, you're trying to get the government to sign off on it, and the best way to get the government to sign off on anything is to kiss the ass of the guy that's in charge of everything, because he tends to be pretty petty when it comes to these sorts of things.
So they're also made for streaming specials coming from these guys. Those guys are amazing.
Yeah.
They
are brilliant.
Dude, well, one, they are brilliant, yeah. But two, I'm just amazed that they haven't burnt out. Like, they just continue to churn out great stuff.
Their sustainability and work ethic and the fact that they've had all the success and haven't, like, I mean, they're a couple of, like, stoner drug dudes who are really funny, and they haven't just said, to hell with it, let's go party the rest of our lives. They keep grinding.
They do. They are. They've got to be. I mean, I don't. Who knows? Maybe they take a bunch of time off, but it sure seems like they're coming out with new stuff all the time.
Well, they've been doing,
and that can't be easy.
No, 27 seasons of South Park, you said, right?
Yes.
There's a major South Park movie. They did a second one streaming Into the Panderverse, which is amazing. They wrote and starred in Basketball. What was the other one that they did? Team America World Police, which was incredible. That's the America. Oh, and by the way, in between all of that stuff, they wrote and produced, including all the music, for one of the most successful musicals of the last 20 years, The Book of Mormon, which now is a staple of Broadway and won God knows how many Tonys. So regardless of what you think of them, I know some people think it's kind of lowbrow humor, and now they just signed a $1.5 billion streaming deal. Those two guys are freaking geniuses.
If you haven't seen the documentary, they made a short film about how they do their work called, like, 7 days to Air or something. Because in their seasons, they typically try to take stuff, like, live from the news cycle and turn it around within the week. And they have to go through all these steps of getting all their foul, crass humor cleared by the FCC. And can we say this? And can we do that? And frequently, they almost don't make it to, like, their live debut of the new episode. But then they do. And it's and then they party for a day, and then they start over again.
So before the $1.5 billion streaming deal, their net worth is, individually, is worth somewhere between $700 and $800 million a piece. So they're damn near billionaires on their own, and now they just signed a $1.5 billion deal. So both of these guys are essentially billionaires at this
point. Apparently there's a show out there about how they make that, and I really want to see that, because I guess it... So they don't make that many new episodes per year.
Thanks for paying attention. That's literally what I was just talking about.
You just got Buckley'd.
Wait, did you say the number, though?
He literally just...
I talked about the show, what they do on it, how it goes. If you haven't seen
that,
it, you should check it out.
This is literally exactly what Buckley... I love it! You got Buckley'd! Revenge!
Well, I mean, I heard it.
Apparently not, because you're about to say the same thing I just said.
100 hours per week? Is that what he said?
I didn't list the hours per week.
There you go.
He didn't list the hours.
Said it was all about the grind from the new news cycle, getting their...
And they show you behind the scenes about how they do it.
I get that. But they only make six episodes, they target only six episodes a year. That is way less than I thought. But they say that when they do make one, they're huddled up for about 100 hours a week because they put it out within the week, like Buck was saying, because I was listening to what Buck was saying. It's topical and relevant to the news cycle. But they don't see... I was thinking that they put, because I actually don't watch South Park.
No,
but
were you listening to the dude's story?
I was thinking they came out like every week or every other week with a new episode, and it's just they aim for six a year.
And what
I take back everything I say about their...
I didn't realize it was that few.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, that's...
That seems low, doesn't it?
Well,
it
no, because I do watch South Park, and they have more than six episodes.
I think so, too. So maybe just it's six that they don't try to go that breakneck reactive to the news cycle speed.
Yeah.
Because there are seasons where there is 15-plus episodes.
I
don't know if I've seen every South Park episode, but I have seen most. I'm a South Park guy. And what I love about South Park is there is no holds barred. They went after Allah. They go after Jesus. They go after the Jews. They go after the Mormons. They go after Michael Jackson. They go after Tom Cruise. There is nothing that is off limits.
Yeah, their standard season length is 14 episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, so I don't know. Maybe that, like you said, they only do six that are like breakneck. The other stuff is written ahead of time. I don't know. Because I've never actually seen the... what you're talking about, where they do the behind the scenes stuff.
It's really fun. It's good watch.
It is weird to see them record. I have seen snippets where they record, because they do all the voices. Those two guys.
Are they in Denver?
They're in Colorado. I don't know where they're at in Colorado, but yeah, they're Colorado bros. And they are just, that show is just brilliant. Check, if you haven't seen it, I want to say it came out maybe 2 years ago. Go check out their latest movie, Into the Panderverse, where they attack Disney. I forget who the head of Disney is, the lady. But they talk about all the kind of recasting and making everything diverse and you know, women equality in all the movies. And it truly is an incredible masterclass in taking down the quote Hollywood woke culture.
They're both University of Colorado Buffaloes.
Oh, there you go.
And in other TV news, Ted Lasso season 4 production has begun.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
They are in Kansas City and London shooting currently. No premiere date yet.
I love Ted Lasso. It was such a feel-good show, but it needed to end. And they're going to try to go back to mine gold, and it's going to be terrible.
I'm going to have a hot take for you guys.
Yeah, you quit on Ted, right?
Yeah, dude, that show, my thing about Ted Lasso is he came along at the right time.
Yeah.
Because that was COVID.
Yeah.
And
we were
looking for a guy like Ted.
Peak cynicism in our culture.
Yep.
And you needed something uplifting.
And he was fun, uplifting. It was simple. It was easy watch. And that's why Ted Lasso popped. Yeah. That is not a great show. It's just not.
Yeah. But it's a feel.
It's good. It's
a simple show. Yeah. Ted was the guy we needed at that time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's more about the popularity of Ted Lasso than the actual show.
Well, it just goes to show you that sometimes positivity can work. Like, the new Superman movie, I thought was garbage. But it got really good reviews, and people are saying because it's positive. We're so negative that all you have to do is put a happy spin on something now, and people will be like, oh. So I think people are just desperate to walk away from something that they, quote, feel good and is uplifting.
Yeah, the feel good always works with a certain crowd.
Yeah.
All right, we will wrap up today's first ever show on 105.1 next on The Fan.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What?
Any reflections on day one on 105.1 FM?
Well, I will say that my biggest thing is the imagery is going to take a while to get used to. Because we're just so used to our old voice guy and all the intros. And so it's kind of fun to hear him. We've never heard any of these. This is all first time for us.
Yeah. We kind of all heard it for the first time together.
Yeah.
Buck had heard some of it and Dusty. But you and us. I?
And then inevitably the people being like, I like the old stuff better. Well,
no kidding.
Yeah. You knew that was coming.
Well, yeah.
Anytime you change something that you've been doing for years, people are like, why'd you change it?
My mom used to cut the crust off my sandwich. This is different.
Hey, cutting crust off a sandwich is delightful. Kind of want to, hence the Uncrustable. Ooh, by the way, let me just shout this out real quick. I had one of the best desserts, and it was total white trash, but oh my God, at the Space Room. You ever been in the Space Room?
I have been to the Space Room.
Great little bar.
Yeah. Space-themed bar?
Yeah, we were drinking there the other night, and we were thinking about heading over to the Horse Brass for some delightful bread pudding, because that's a great way to end the evening. And the bartender was like, you know, we have a dessert, and we're like, oh, yeah? And she goes, we deep fry an Uncrustable, and then they cover it with chocolate sauce and, like, cinnamon sugar, and then a scoop of vanilla ice cream, and we're like... Deep fried Uncrustable.
I've never had an Uncrustable.
What is an Uncrustable?
It's a pre-made PB&J, like Smucker's PB&J sandwich that you just pull out of the fridge or whatever. You can eat it cold. You can toast it. And it's got no crust.
It's like just sealed around the sides?
Yeah, sealed around the sides.
It's a little PB&J pocket kind of.
Yeah, it's like a Hot Pocket, but with peanut butter and jelly. Oh my God. Dude, that may be the worst thing you could possibly eat, a deep fried chocolate cinnamon covered Uncrustable with ice cream. That was so stinking good. Like it was a revelation. So I had to give a shout out there. If you're looking for a Uncrustable, head over to the Space Room and get yourself one of those. And by the way, you're welcome.
All right, everybody have a good one. It was a good first day on the new SIG.
One down and God knows how many to go.
Maybe only five to go. Exactly. I don't know. We don't know.
No. All this, and then they pull the plug. We're like, ah, it's not working out. You're out.
We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night. Become Tony with the power and the glory. Black beat, the talking blue. Red chips of space.